The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
What's coming up this hour on Today's Experience? Going over the future like it's the past. Huh? Also, how are we spending our faith and day by day by day by day by day by day or one day at a time?
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. All three today. Politics, entertainment, and current events. All three today. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities. Two of three. And oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 972-445-0770. 972-445-0770. There are 10 numbers. They're really tough. Somewhere between 0 and 9, you can do it. This is for trivia, for praise reports, for prayer requests, and or for whatever. In fact, any topic is open for conversation, primarily because it's not professional radio. Because I'm not a professional. Except for that I'm paying for it. I guess in that sense it's professional, but that's about all. Remember, folks, it's just radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Got a lot to cover. And as our time is only an hour, which is amazing, I want to go right to the most important element of the day and give the most important commentary regarding the Mueller encounter that took place today in Washington. I don't know if Wonder Julie, if you got a chance to hear any of the feedback or not, but I want to make sure to give you the feedback, the most important feedback of all. Did you get any feedback? Did you hear anything about it at all?
I watched some of it.
Okay.
A lot of yelling.
Okay. I watched it. Here we go. Ready? I'm going to give the most important commentary. Get ready. I don't want you to miss this. It's super important. It's how you should think of this whole thing. Ready? I mean, this was a Three Stooge fest. Snorathon. I thought the Republicans did a better job than they normally do asking questions. I thought it was just so, you just watch the whole thing and you think, I'm pretty sure now in my spirit, I feel like MSNBC, CNN, ABC, C-SPAN, and all these people got together. They went to Bob's Big Boys and had one of the renewed burgers, and they all said, let's do something to increase our ratings. Because there's nothing there. I didn't even find it entertaining. In fact, I found it painful. And I'm just being honest. I'm not even taking sides, although I'm taking sides. I just found it like, wow. And then for those that found it riveting, get a hobby. Because that is, if that's riveting, I got a much cooler show for you. Okay. Remember that guy that used to paint? You do the paint by colors. That's much more entertaining. I did find it interesting that certain questions were answered. You can see the slight. And what I did on purpose, just so you can know, is I watched MSNBC, CNN, and Fox. You'd have thought there were three different planets that we all lived on. I mean, it was just so, every time they report it, it's completely skewed for whoever is doing it and whatever point they're trying to make. I just found it boring. I'm a high-level entertainment guy. I find a game that's already been played in football that I know the score on more entertaining than that stuff, and that's just kind of who I am. If you feel it's really important to watch it, I'm sure you'll be able to rewatch it 1,500 times. You're going to get a lot of opinion on it. Do whatever you want with it. I can guarantee you one thing. The election's like a year and a half away. Ain't going to matter. This is not going to matter. And if Americans, and I love America, by the way, I never want anybody to get the wrong impression. It's the greatest country I've ever been in, okay? Greatest country I've ever been a part of. I don't know that it was the greatest country ever in the context that when Israel was at its heyday, silver were like rocks, the Bible says. So I wonder about that. Plus, the presence of God in the temple. You know, well, I mean, that's pretty strong. But I will say this, love the country, love the things we do, love what we stand for, love good entertainment, love all that stuff, love the Word of God. Couldn't stand what I saw today. Just like, oh, it's so boring. I mean, it was just like, oh. But if you need to watch it, and if you get something different out of it, let me know. Maybe you got something good out of it. I don't know. I can't respond to that. I will tell you, though, there is no coincidence that today is National Tell an Old Joke Day. Did you know that it was National Tell an Old Joke Day? See, it's not National Tell a Joke Day. That's August 16th. It's National Tell an Old Joke Day. And why is that? That is so that the old jokes don't get forgotten, as many things seem to have gotten forgotten. So I will give you what I think is the best assessment of what I watched in this joke. Ready? Okay. A priest, a minister, and a rabbi are called to the hospice of a terminal millionaire. The millionaire gives each of them $100,000 with the instructions that when he dies, he wants them to bury him with the money. A few weeks later, he dies, and the priest, minister, and rabbi all throw an envelope into the casket. After the funeral, the priest asks the minister if he threw the whole amount into the casket. No, I didn't, the minister said. I took $10,000 to provide for the congregation. I'm sure he'll understand. What about you? No, I took $15,000, the priest replied. I had to provide for my small congregation. We have many, many bills, and I'm sure he'll rest easy, knowing the money was put to good use. The priest and the minister looked over at the rabbi and asked the same question. Of course I put it in there. I wrote him a check. I wrote him a check. See, they can't cash the check. Took the $100,000. I quit. Come on, folks. Come on. I wrote him a check. See? Wrote him a check. Like he's going to cash the check because he's dead. All right. So last night, my wife and I were talking. I'm going to skip our typical things, okay? So you can just kind of relax and take it easy. You can probably find a stool and just chill out for the whole hour. My wife and I were talking, and we were talking about some of the things in the past, you know, with some of the things that we thought, well, no, I hope we didn't make a mistake there. I hope we didn't make a mistake there. And in doing that, inevitably, when you talk about the past with your spouse or with your best friend or with your children or with whoever, even with the Lord from time to time, you start looking a little bit towards the future. And so we started talking about the future. It's like, what does the future hold? I don't know what the future holds. I just know who holds the future. But then I started thinking about it, and we started talking about it, and we discussed it not just last night but a couple of different times about how we are to approach life. Because like I said yesterday, and I've said many times before, 6 minutes ago, you and I are geniuses, but 6 minutes from now, we know nothing, right? So I want to look at what Jesus said about the future, but I want to talk about it from a more practical point of view. Matthew 6, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. And yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Here is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, the most read speech ever. I'm not talking about a list of commands. The Ten Commandments probably holds it in the sense of a listing of commandments, but the most read speech ever. And one of the key elements in the middle of his speech is Jesus telling us, don't worry about tomorrow. Each day has enough trouble. Notice Jesus didn't say each day has no trouble. He didn't say each day might have. He said each day's got plenty. Okay? But you don't got to worry about what's going beyond that. Stay in the day. And so one of the things I want to show you, or one of the things I'm hoping to show you or connect with you, is something that I don't do very well, but I want to do it better, and I want you to want to do it better, and I want all of us to do it better, because we would just have better lives, and it'd be cooler, and we wouldn't be so stressed out. And that is, I want to talk to you about how we spend our faith, because we have faith, and we spend it. The question is, how do we spend it? So when I come back, we're going to talk about that. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. Don't go anywhere.
Trade tensions, stock market volatility. You don't want to go down the wrong path on anything, but especially involving your retirement. Retirement Strategies and Solutions with Jamie Blumenthal puts you on the right path so you can plan right, and retire the right way. Call Jamie at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com for financial peace of mind, wisdom, and safety regarding your retirement. Are you getting older, retired, or retiring soon? Do you have an IRA or 401k? You want to make sure your retirement money is safe. Money in the stock market is unprotected from loss. Sake money or no-so money is protected. For a free copy of his book and a free get-together with no obligation, talk with Jamie. Call him at 800-287-1667 or go to retiretherightway.com. That's retiretherightway.com.
The Christian faith is being attacked. 50 years ago, people would disagree with Christianity, but with a sense of respect. Those days are over. The rage, the flesh, the enemy, and the atmosphere of sin is growing and growing. Jesus said in Matthew 24, "The love of many will grow cold." And if it's not the end now, it's certainly a lot closer than it was yesterday. You may be from a Baptist background. David Spoon has that. You may have a Pentecostal background. He has that too. You may have a non-denominational background. Yep, he's got that as well. You may be from the Church of Christ, Presbyterian, Methodist, Church of God, or some other denomination. But if you're looking for a show that's Bible-based, Spirit-led, and a bit nutty, give David a listen for a while. If you like it, great. If not, no worries. The David Spoon Experience. Weekdays at 2 on God Country, Texas, 770 KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus' longest sermon that's recorded is Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, which takes about 25 to 30 minutes long. It takes about 30 minutes to read Matthew 5, 6, and 7. So here's a lesson for pastors and preachers everywhere. Jesus said everything he wanted to say on the Sermon on the Mount in 30 minutes. Paul took 12 hours. God didn't record a single word.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Are you sitting there at home on your computer? or maybe driving along in your car just listening to the radio. Is that app for this station working for you? Don't you wish you could reach people for your business? Introducing the Commercial Whammy. All you need to do is call KAAM at 972-445-1700 and ask for David Spoon. Or send him an email at davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. And bam! You've got your own Commercial Whammy.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to send us an email, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. For those that didn't get that or thought maybe I'm going too fast, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Okay. Also, a website, davidspoonmedia.com, Facebook, David Spoon Media, YouTube, David Spoon Media. Got in trouble again today on Facebook. Somebody wrote something, you know, they had that vote on Israel, and my brother wrote something, and somebody wrote something to him about, you know, we're all representatives of God, read your Bible. And so then I had to say, I don't think the false prophets and false teachers were representative of God, and, you know. My mom, unfortunately, taught me a lot about talking to people. And when I say unfortunately, my mom, a great Jewish mother, my mom, in order to win an argument, you know what she would do? If you were winning the argument, do you know what she would do? She would serve you alphabet soup so she could get the last word in. That's my family. That's how I grew up. Listen to this passage. You'll figure that out in a second. Listen to this passage in Exodus, because this has to do with spending your faith. That evening, quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, "What is it?" For they did not know what it is. Or what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Each one of you is to gather as much as he needs. Take an omer, which is about 2 liters or so, maybe about 2 quarts. For each person you have in your tent, the Israelites did as they were told. So they gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, when they measured it by the quarts, he who gathered much did not have too much. He who gathered little did not have too little. Each one gathered as much as he needed. Then Moses said to them, "No one is to keep any of it until morning." However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. So if you remember the story, this has to do with manna. This is the bread from heaven. And what God told the Israelites was, I want you to gather the manna. He told them through Moses, I want you to gather the manna daily. And then on the Sabbath day, gather twice as much. But then you don't go out on the Sabbath day. And if you do that, everything will be fine. So the people who would gather on the days they were supposed to gather, if they tried to hold it over for the next day, the manna, the bread from heaven, it turned into worm or maggots, and it was like smelly and disgusting. Now you think, Dave, what does that have to do with the topic? I want you to give me the liberty. Just give it to me. For understanding that manna has a similar play in our lives as our faith. You see, the idea is that every day you and I wake up. And when we wake up, we face the day. And we have faith. Some of us have a little more faith. Some of us have a little less faith. Okay, but we have faith. What unfortunately, too many of us try to do is take that faith and we try to spread it out past the day. In other words, we try to have faith for what's going to happen tomorrow, on Saturday, next month, the end of the year, the following year. Let's see what Scripture says about stuff like that. James chapter 4, verse 13 through 15. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. So the whole premise there in James chapter 4 is the understanding that you don't get to determine what's going to be happening in a week, in 2 weeks, in 6 weeks, in 2 months, 4 months, 8 months, 12. You don't, it's not really in your hands, is it? The problem is we use faith for something that's not yet here and it doesn't work. In other words, let me break it down in the most simplistic way. Think of faith as a dollar. And I've said this before. So instead of every day, you get a dollar. You don't really carry over the dollar for the next day. It's more like manna. You get it for the day. It's the day. Here's the day. Here we go. Maybe you spend time with the Lord and you have revved up faith. Maybe you need to spend time with the Lord and rev up your faith. Maybe you need to spend time deeply in the Word, deeply in prayer, really just to get your mind and your heart in the right space of the Lord. The idea is that people will take the dollar of faith they get every day, and they get that $1, and they'll split it up into 10 dimes, and they'll take 5 or 6 of those dimes and throw them at the future. And they have no actual power, no actual buying power. But then they're using just about half their faith for the day. The idea is to understand we need to be more of a day-by-day faith-oriented people. Hope talks about a better tomorrow, okay? That's what you use for the future, hope. But faith is active now. Faith is active in the present, what you're dealing with. And so the idea, and even if you're going to get into the theology of faith transforming into hope, I don't care. What I'm trying to tell you is that too many of us are taking the little faith that we have and spreading it thin, and then we can't figure out why we're not having faith throughout the day. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not trying to be a negative Nelly here. Is it negative Nelly? I think it's still negative Nelly. I think that they still use that, right? There might not be a tomorrow. Don't get mad at me. Dave, this has to happen, and this has to happen, and this has to happen. Or you could hear, da-da-da, and it's over. And you could be wrong, and then that's it. Right? We don't know that. Or, God forbid, something disastrous should happen, and it doesn't really matter about the money, or it doesn't really matter about the economy. I mean, I'm just trying to give you some illustrations. When 9/11 took place, almost the entire economic structure of the country froze up for a day, or for 2 days even. And it's like, you have to recognize, we don't know what happens tomorrow, so trying to use our daily faith for something that's beyond today is a waste of that faith. If you think about it in terms of buying power, better to use those 10 dimes on one day and get the full benefit of your faith for the day. After all, tomorrow you're going to have faith again, and the next day you're going to have faith again. Use it on a day-by-day basis. And you might be thinking, but that's crazy. I mean, how does anybody do that? Well, first of all, that is exactly how we teach people to do a pretty good job when they're walking in the Lord. But that's how we teach people for recovery, on day by day. And it's like, well, that's how you get free from bondages. Well, guess what a bondage is? Being afraid of tomorrow, being afraid of a month from now, 6 months from now, a year. That's a problem. That's a problem. So you have to have faith. It's not that you don't do planning. It's not that you don't do any of those things. It's not that you don't use wisdom. But it is, you can't be facing that with fear, which of course is taking out the faith anyway. The whole idea behind what the Lord is trying to walk us through when you're looking at Matthew 6 is, hey, deal with today. You got today going? Take care of today. Spend the time today. Seek the kingdom of God today. You know what? Tomorrow, you're going to get another opportunity, if the Lord gives it to you, to seek the kingdom of God tomorrow. Seek the kingdom of God today. What is that passage in Lamentations? Because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. every morning, every day. Every morning, every day, start over. And if the Lord gives you and grants you time, awesome. And planning for it's fine. But being afraid of what's around the corner, and this is why I brought this up today. Yesterday I mentioned about around the corner. We don't know what's around the corner, but we can know him who's around the corner. And we can trust him that he will help. Now, I'm telling you all this stuff. Does that mean that I do this perfectly? Are you trying to make me throw up on the air? Are you trying to? You want to talk to my wife? She's my greatest testimony. She's my biggest fan and my worst critic, just like I am. It's like the problem here is that there are moments when I'm like, yeah, faith, man, yeah, I can do it. And then there's you get the weird phone calls and you go, yeah, I'm going to hit my head against the wall, yeah. I know you guys can relate because everybody goes through this. And you think, well, I'm super duper Christian. I never go through anything. Usually when that's the case, you've either checked out completely or a little bit of non-truth with yourself. I'm just trying to deal with the realities of being a Christian and walking day by day. When we start using our daily faith for other days, we lose the effectiveness that faith has for today. What if the Lord calls you home tonight? I'm not saying he's doing that. I'm saying, what if he calls you home tonight? Then all that worrying about something you can do nothing about, complete waste of time, right? Deal with today. One of the things we say a lot to a lot of people, when I'm struggling paying an electric bill. Hey, in 100 years, that probably won't matter. Right? It's an electric bill in 100 years, not going to matter. Right? Well, whatever it is, probably not going to matter. Day by day by day faith. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Do a trivia when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
Whether you're buying a new home or selling your current home or both, you want to work with somebody who's completely committed to the process and believes it's as important as you do. The answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. In real estate, there are people who get involved to make a few extra dollars. There's nothing wrong with that, but if you're interested in working with somebody who's committed to the process of treating people like family and approaching real estate the way that would be best for you, the answer, Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. With every client, she sees an opportunity to honor the Lord and to do the ministry he has called her to do faithfully. For her, it's not a job. It's a calling. The answer? Pam Melchiono, president of Blessed Realty Company. Call Pam at 817-505-5541 or visit blessedrealtycompany.com. Have a meeting with her at no obligation. She'll be glad to help you and will do whatever she can to be a blessing.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
GOP congressman's gay son was going to come on their show, and they were going to talk to him, and CNN and MSNBC canceled the interview because he wouldn't criticize his father. He wouldn't downgrade his father because his father maintained his beliefs. His son becomes gay, makes a decision, by the way, to become gay. And the son will not criticize the father who does not change his Christian convictions. Will not change them. Father won't change them. Son will not criticize the father for that. MSNBC and CNN both canceled their interviews because the guy would not crucify his father. That is, of all things, as low as the press can go.
One of the most frustrating experiences a person can go through is having body pain. It's also difficult to watch one of your loved ones go through that same type of pain. Since we moved to Texas, my wife has quite a bit of bodily pain. Knowing that my wife is getting better because she's going to Dr. Brandon Brown, now that's a true blessing. I share with you my recommendation for Dr. B. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office. 972-454-9362. I've entrusted him with the care of my wife, and I'm confident that any person who listens to our radio show will get the same type of quality service. And by the way, it's Migraine Awareness Month, and that pain in your head could be from your back. Get in touch with Dr. B and find out. Go to his website at drbrandonbrown.com or call him at his office, 972-454-9362. You're here when I need you.
To the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. One of the people that provides music for us, actually a relative of mine, is going to be giving away the opportunity for people to get free music from their website. We'll be giving you information on that as it comes forward. Quick update on my daughter. I talked to her, or actually had texts from her today, this afternoon. Actually, Tiffany asked, how's she doing? It's like, hey, I haven't even heard from her for the last little bit. So the baby is doing good. Somewhere there's a mistake that people are thinking it's a granddaughter. It's a grandson. And it's my daughter who has the grandson, so I want to make sure. I got three boys now and two girls. Fortunately, I guess my daughter's going to have another child, so she has a second girl. She wants two girls because she grew up two brothers and her, so her commitment is in life is to have two girls. I said, well, what if you have five or six boys and you don't have the second girl yet? She's not entirely stubborn like me. But she said, God can give me 10 boys, and I'm still going for the second girl. That's that's commitment. And it's at that point I'm leaving the country. I'm out. In fact, we went through the birth dates because we wanted to see. So somewhere between July 15th and August 30th is like 20-some-odd birthdays. Like, nah, I'm done. I'm not doing this stuff. I even tried to negotiate with my wife saying, maybe we should give each person that we engage with, just give them a birthday equivalent to the value of their age. So a two-year-old would get $2, right? This I thought was genius. My 32-year-old would get $32, right? I mean, that's a good idea. That got shot down. I thought it was a good idea. She said, no, stop being cheap. Cheap. Anyway, okay, if you want to reach the show and you don't know how yet, just wave your hand and I'll come and visit you. Here is the question for trivia. We did this thing on manna, and we're going to do another thing on this whole premise of faith and day-by-day faith and so on and so forth. What color was manna? What color was manna? Right? There you go. 972-445-0770. Before you answer, I did not say this was a prize trivia. We have to be able to afford these things in order to do these things. We already gave out. By the way, we did send – was it John who won yesterday? Yeah, his is already sent out in the mail. So he should like that. Anyway, that's the question. 972-445-0770. What color was manna? That's the question. Okay, so we've been talking about day-by-day faith. And, you know, I'm not trying to tell people you don't plan. I'm not trying to tell people you don't look and see. I mean, we use as our hope the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some people see that as a premillennial rapture. Some people see that as a pre-trib rapture, mid-trap rapture, post-rapture. Some people see that as disconnected from that point of view and see it more connected to the second coming. I don't care. They're looking at that as the hope. Jesus used hope to give him strength to get through things. That's the premise. That's the premise in Scripture, that we use that hope. But on a day-by-day basis, as we're functioning throughout the day, we're supposed to be operating in faith. How specific is this? Listen to another thing that Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. Our Father in heaven, not your Father, not my Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise always goes first. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Jesus didn't say, give us today our mortgage payment that's due in 2 months. He said, give us today our daily bread. Today. Daily. Today. Daily. Are you getting that theme? Matthew 6 is a pretty strong themed portion of the gospel that talks about the day-by-day living process. talks about prayer, talks about day-by-day faith, talks about fasting, talks about us laying up treasures in heaven day-by-day, talks us not teaching us not to worry. And so the Lord is communicating with us an important principle by which we, as believers, need to get. And what he's saying is, look, you're going to pray, and you're going to pray daily, right? You should be praying daily because this demonstrates you should be praying daily. Give us today our daily bread means you're praying daily. The idea in that is to grasp that our need that we bring before the Lord in prayer, which is not him being informed, but us connecting with him in relationship and fellowship, is our focus is on what is necessary for today. Because God has not told you, unless he has specifically shown you, he's not told you for tomorrow. The lesson that Jesus is really trying to get us to do is to get away from an anxious life. To get away from a life full of anxiety and fear. In our society, in our country, it runs different in the context of we are a higher consumer finance capital country. There's nothing wrong with that. It's turned out to be an enormous blessing for the people that live in this country. But it does tend to lead people into more of a fear mindset. Got to get out of that. Got to break that. Can't have that. Psalm 118, verse 24, the Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. We're supposed to rejoice day by day by day by day. You know what? You can rejoice tomorrow when tomorrow comes. You can't rejoice tomorrow today. You can give thanks. You can give thanks for tomorrow. But if you're going to be rejoicing in the day, it's in the day. Is that I'm not trying to be weird. Does that make sense? I mean, you rejoice today. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Or let us rejoice and be glad. It's like, this is the day. This day. What day? Today. Today we're rejoicing. Tomorrow we can rejoice, but that's tomorrow. And when we get to tomorrow, which will then become today. Now we're getting confusing. So I want to make sure you get that. Rejoice today. Praise the Lord today. For this is the day the Lord has made. He's granted you this day. He's given you his mercy. He's given you his kindness. He's letting you exist. He's letting you keep going. And your petition to him is not, oh, Lord, please give me my red Lamborghini. Because I've driven in the car. It's not that nice. Anyway, the bottom line is you need to be focused on what's necessary. Let's be honest, not what your flesh says is necessary. Okay, that's a big difference. So like today, instead of going to the gym like I'm supposed to, I'll probably do something horrible and stop and get a brownie or something like that. That's terrible. I shouldn't do that, right? But when I'm focused on the wrong thing, that's what I result in. Instead, I should be focusing on what I need and what are important, what are the important things to the Lord. I'll repent later, though. Okay, the idea is for you to get where I'm going with this. I want you to understand that the power of faith is for today. And we need to be operating in the power of faith for today. And I want to do it. I want all of us to do it just to give us all a break. I mean, okay, let me say this really carefully. In a year and a half, we're going to have an election. They're dumping stuff on us today for something that's going to happen a year and a half from now. Who knows where we're going to be at? Who knows what's going to be going on? That's how much buildup. That's how much the enemy does it. He wants us looking down the road, fear, anxiety, not knowing what's taking place, uncertainty. Well, who do you think is creating all that uncertainty? Who do you think is trying to build that up in our flesh? It's certainly not the Lord who tells us to go day by day. You see what I'm saying? All right. I do want to get back to that trivia question, give people another chance to get it. What color was manna That's the question. What color was manna? 972-445-0770. I don't want you to Google it. You can look it up if you need to. It's in Exodus. At this point, you should know kind of where in Exodus, but it's in Exodus. What color was manna? That's the question that's on the table. So as we wind into this, I want to make sure that we look at this and kind of grasp what we're trying to say to one another. And that is, tomorrow is not a known commodity in your mind and heart. You do not have that in the palm of your hand, but you are living today. Let's use that faith for today. Here's what James 4:14 says, why you don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? It is a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. The idea is that it's so fleeting from that point of view. We can't afford to do that. We can't afford to be focused on tomorrow, and we certainly can't be looking at tomorrow with fear. We have to have confidence. You know, God has this plan, and he's blessed you and I to be a part of this plan. And being a part of this plan means we don't give him our input. We walk with him in his plan. It is true that many of us want to follow the Lord and do it right. But it is also true that many of us want to follow the Lord and do it right and be his advisor. God doesn't need you and me to be his advisor. He wants us to be his children. He wants us to be in fellowship. He wants us to be in relationship. He didn't ask for our counsel. And what he does ask is that we lean on him and rely on him. I think it's important to grasp, and that's why I'm saying it again. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but you can know him who holds tomorrow in the palm of his hand. And because you know him, you don't have to be afraid of tomorrow. You don't have to fear what you're going to face. You don't have to be afraid of it. You can be confident as you walk hand in hand with the Lord, hoping for tomorrow, but having faith for today. Again, hope, great definition. Hope is believing for a better tomorrow. Believing for a better tomorrow, easy. A better tomorrow is hope. That's great. But faith is believing right now. God is active right now. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Hey, jing-a-dee-jing. It's Dominic the Donkey. Jing-a-dee-jing. The Italian Christmas Donkey. La, la, la.
You asked for zany, my friend.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. So we, being not completely unlike, you know, Christmas Vacation in Chevy Chase and so on and so forth, we got a really big tree, slapped it up on the car. Of course, it scratched the car to no end. Remember, I'm Jewish, and I'm trying to follow the Christmas holiday. It's got nothing to do with my Christianity. I like Christmas. I like the season and so on and so forth. I have no problem celebrating any specific time, picking a time, and we're as close as we can be, celebrating the birth of Christ. It's awesome. It's a great time of year. But you're talking about me fighting a tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I'm fighting the tree, and I hack off a few branches. And unfortunately, what I hacked off with the axe wasn't enough, because I was right there again holding the Christmas tree with my feet on the door trying to pull it in. Hey, you know what? The Christmas tree was not coming in. So you know what I did? I hacked off a few more pieces. But then instead of just trying to pull the tree in, I hacked off a few more pieces. By this point, I have decided that Christmas is a pagan holiday that only people who are supporting Christmas presents have created, and Jewish people who believe in Jesus should not be celebrating Christmas, and I'm crashing the... And I've got the act up, and I'm crushing it, and I'm going to get this tree in, and you would not believe it, but after doing that for 15 minutes, I still could not get the tree in the house.
Wow, look at that hail!
Wow, look at my neighbor's car!
Wow, look at your roof!
Uh-oh, it's time to call John.
John? Who is John? The apostle?
No, silly, he's our brother in the Lord. John from the Blessed Roofing Company.
You know the name of your roofer?
Not just his name, but his number, too.
What?
469-BLESSED. That's 469-BLESSED. Because the answer to my roofing problems is in their number and in the company name, the Blessed Roofing Company. Get it?
All right, let me get this straight. You know the name of your roofer, his phone number, and his company name off the top of your head?
And his website, theblessedroofingcompany.com. A roof over my head needs to be blessed, and his name and number and website are blessed too. In most cases, you can get a new roof with zero money out of pocket.
Well, now I know where I'm going for all my roofing needs. Whether it's a new roof, roof repairs, or free inspections, I'll call John at 469-BLESSED or go to theblessedroofingcompany.com.
With the Blessed Roofing Company, you've got it covered because reliability starts at the top.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. If you want to reach us, davidspoonmedia@gmail.com. Website, davidspoonmedia.com. Donations are okie dokie. Facebook, David Spoon Media. And YouTube, David Spoon Media. The trivia question that is on the table today, what color was manna? What color was manna? From Exodus 16, our number here, 972-445-0770. Don't Google it. Just if you're going to look it up in the Bible. That's all I'm asking you, okay? I prefer you not to use the concordance, but, you know. I can't tell you now. Just as long as you don't Google it, that's fine. So we've been the whole thing, and I wanted to do this particular show different because I wanted to talk about the day by day by day by day. So I just eliminated everything, and it's like this is kind of the way I roll. Because it's like, look, we need to be spending our faith day by day. We need to recognize we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We need to recognize that the mercies of God are new every day, that we're supposed to be praying for our daily bread. This is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and be glad in it. And there's a theme there that you can't miss. So one of the practicalities that I find is, well, how do you get around where you get to do stuff like that? How do you really do – how do you do a better job focusing on the day-by-day faith? How do you – get to that place? And I think there's several scriptures that give us that key. The biggest burn in this process is staying away from anxiety. And anxiety has to do with, now, if you're somebody who's being treated for anxiety on a daily basis, I'm not talking about that level of anxiety. I'm talking about people that look 24 hours down the road and get that gut feeling. Like, And for those people, the scripture says, Philippians 4, 6 through 7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, because everything should be done with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which pushes past what your brain can process and what your heart can process. It's amazing because the peace of God will go past your logic and past your feelings if you're obedient to the scripture. You think, well, I'm going to go past my feelings because God is bigger than your feelings. He's not so small as to be limited by the way you feel. So it says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving, bring it to the Lord. Present your request, your specific need to the Lord, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:6-7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. And here's God. If you could bear it, God is like, bring it here. You know, come over here. So you gotta bring it in by prayer. Keep a good space of humility going on. Humble yourselves. And by humble, we're not talking about, you know, humiliation, but a humility. And under God's mighty hand, humble yourself, because before God, it's easy to be humble. I mean, you're talking about being before the Lord. And then cast that anxiety, cast that ugh on him, because he cares for you. In other words, he wants you to bring it. He wants you to unload on him. It's really funny that cast your anxiety on him, if you think about it. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever, camping is probably not a good example, but if you've ever carried a big load and then you just kind of throw it, well, let's just throw it unto the Lord. There you go. Blech. You keep it. You run it. Because that is what the Lord wants. He wants you to humble yourself and drop it in his lap. Don't worry about it. See, Psalm 37 says this: do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they'll soon wither, and like green plants, they're going to soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he'll do this. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret. I mean, come on. These are all passages that talk about us going, here you go. And you might be thinking, well, why do you bring that up? I mean, why, you know, from... why do you bring that up? Because it's like, you know, you're talking about like it's in you. It is in me. I go through this. I go through this struggle of I look at things and there are moments where I have brilliance of faith, and there's moments where I have the dimmest faith. It's more like the brilliance of doubt. And I recognize that. And it's like, no, that's, I got to do better than that. See, I'm of the mindset, and if you're of a different mindset, I understand, but I think this is a good way to approach it. I'm of the mindset that instead of reading scripture and looking at it and thinking, gosh, I'm not doing this and I'm not doing this and I'm not doing this, I read this stuff I'm not doing and I go, help. You want me to do this, this, and this? I ain't doing this stuff without you. I can't do this without you. I mean, that's the one great moment, the best prayer in my 40 plus years of Christianity was that moment that the Lord set me free from all the pot that I was doing. I mean, I smoked so much pot. It was unbelievable before I became a Christian. Then right when I became a Christian, I came before the Lord when the Lord told me to stop. And I said, I can't do this without you. I can't. I don't have the capacity independent of you. If this is going to happen, I need you to help make it happen. I was just honest. And I went to bed, I woke up, and that was it. That was 40 years ago. And you think, well, you know, that doesn't always happen. Well, it never happens if you don't ask. I mean, you have to be a genius to figure that out. You come before the Lord and you be honest. And you don't come before the Lord like you're late. And this is where Jesus is talking about the guys in the temple, right? One guy's in the temple and he's, you know, I thank you, Lord. I'm so good. I do this good. I'm really a nice guy. I have a nice haircut. My beard looks great. My clothes match. My belt goes with my shoes, and everybody loves me. And then you got the other guy who won't even look up. He's just like, I am a mess. And he's beating his chest. And he's like, well, you know what? At least that guy was honest. And that's why Jesus said, that guy walked away justified. That guy walked away with the blessing of God. That guy walked away as one who moved God, not the other guy. Why? Because he came before the Lord and goes, I can't do this. I need you. I think we've missed on some of that. You can do it through the Holy Spirit, but a lot of us know we can do it through the Holy Spirit. We just don't. And we're not saying, hey, I need your Holy Spirit in me to help me do this. I think that honesty is the most important thing you could ever do in prayer. It's one of the reasons my wife, I drive her a little crazy, just a little, just a short putt. I drive her crazy when we pray at night because I don't pray, oh, thou heavenly Father who has made the skies and made the clouds. And that's not how I'm feeling it. So I don't do it that way. I pray exactly where I'm at because I figure if I'm not praying exactly right, but he sees it anyway. He reads me anyway. I mean, he knows exactly what's going on. Not that I pray in disrespect. I mean, but it is true that in my prayers there's probably more humor than in most people's because I think the Lord knows I'm thinking that anyway. And I need his help. I need it day by day. I need it each and every day. Boy, I'm lucky I'm not doing a message an hour by hour. But that's what we need to get to that place so that what tomorrow is doesn't have the impact as much as who brings tomorrow. That's true for your business, your relationships, your children, your grandchildren. Do I know about the suffering of a grandchild? Yeah, a little bit, not a ton. Do I know the suffering of children? My eldest son was in the hospital 3 of the first 5 months of his life. Do I know? Sure, I know. They didn't think he was going to really get through. And then I'll just tell you this, and then I'll escape it. Then a doctor came in. I'm not kidding you. Hit my son on the nose with his finger. My son went like this. And then the doctor looked right at me and goes, he'll be just fine. And he walked out. And then the other doctor walked in about a half hour later. And I said, who was that doctor? And everybody was like, what doctor? What doctor? What doctor? I'm like, the doctor that came in and hit on the nose. He goes, nobody comes in and hits anybody on the nose. I'm like, uh-oh. My son turned out to be fine. Actually, quite the pain in the tush, if you really want to be honest. I mean, that's what he turned out to be. But the point is, look, we need the help from the Lord. We need the Lord to come in and answer those kind of – answer us and guide us and just be honest about it and truthful and day by day and pray that – here – pray that it's blessed. Do your best, for sure. Pray that it's blessed. And let Jesus take care of the rest because he can do a better job than you and I can do. Okay? That's all. I think you can figure it out. By the way, the color of manna, white, for those that didn't know. Oh, I can't believe you guys didn't get that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, taking a 23-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Yeah. All right. The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.